Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
The Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll give away some tickets for the Charleston River Dogs, one of their home games this weekend as they continue their homestand. But also back home this weekend, the Charleston Battery. Coming off a 2-1 loss this past Monday out at New Mexico United, and now back home for the next two weekends, in fact. Saturday night, Hartford Athletic comes to town, 7:30 start at Patriots Point. And then they'll be home next Friday as well against Charlotte Independence. You can get tickets online now while they're still available. Head on over to charlestonbattery.com. They've gone back to 100% capacity at Patriots Point. Always a fun time, great environment. Tickets go fast. Get yours now online at charlestonbattery.com and go check out the Battery back home this Saturday against Hartford Athletic. And joining us now as we catch up with a member of the Battery every week, and it's Logan Gadula, who's with us now from the Charleston Battery. Logan, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. Logan is fifth on the team in minutes. He's played in all 10 matches, has started nine of them this year. He's played a big role in the Battery's start to their season so far. Logan, take us back to the game Monday. You guys make that trip out there to New Mexico. Obviously not the outcome you desire, the 2-1 loss. Take us back. Give us a breakdown. What happened Monday night against New Mexico United?
Yeah, I think for the first time this year, I thought we played pretty well. I thought it was the best we've played. We let in two goals. One was a pretty soft goal. It was kind of unlucky. But I think we created a lot of chances, and we didn't finish a lot of them. But I think if you put those guys in that position, again, they're scoring those goals more times than not.
And that's a bit of a long trip. I know you guys went up and played in New York earlier this year, but to go out to New Mexico, what was the trip? I know you guys flew, fortunately, but what was the trip like for the team?
It was a long one. We had a flight to Dallas, and then we had a flight to New Mexico, and then the day after the game, we left really early in the morning. So it was one of those long trips, but it was nice out there. Nice to see a new place, and it was good.
As an athlete, what is it like for those long travel days when you have to then, you know, come back and play the next day? Do you do a little more in even the recovery leading up to a game when you have to, you know, fly and travel like that?
Yeah, it's a lot of the recovery stuff, getting your body back into it. Less about like the tactics and the training. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to get your body recovered and ready for the next one.
How have you felt so far this year? You've played a bunch of minutes. You've played in every match so far. Physically, how have you held up so far this point in the year?
I'm holding up good. Just get a lot of massages, do a lot of treatment, cryotherapy. So we have all the resources, so it helps. So my body's been holding up. Get breaks here and there as much as I can. Mm-hmm. So it's been good.
Last year was your first year at the Battery, and of course the most unusual year you could have. I've talked about this with everyone that we've discussed, because now you take last year, you try to compare it to this year where things are getting back to normal. How different, you know, in a positive, I'm sure, how different has this year been compared to last year with what everybody in this country was going through?
Yeah, it's just more positive vibes around the team. We could build chemistry, go out and do things together, and then just the fans, too. Having the fans there is a huge thing for the community and just our spirit in the games. It helps us through the games, and it's a big part of soccer and sports in general. So it's a big difference, and people are just happy things are getting back to normal as much as they are.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you're back home now for the next two, starting Saturday against Hartford Athletic. I'll ask you about them in just a moment, but it must be nice to be home. You know, how much fun has it been playing in front of that crowd at Patriots Point this year?
I mean, it's amazing. I think out of all the games we played, even the away games, the crowd's been amazing. It's probably the best that we've seen, and it really energizes everyone. I think even the away teams, they enjoy it too. The atmosphere is great, so it's amazing.
Yeah, and they'll all be out there once again supporting the team Saturday night against Hartford Athletic. Sure. Now, I'm from Connecticut. People that listen to the show, know I reference it all the time. You're from Connecticut. You've also spent some time with Hartford Athletic, so let's get to this game on Saturday. Does it mean anything more for you going up? I know it's not in Connecticut. You're not returning home, per se, but does it mean anything more for you to play this team on Saturday compared to, you know, some of the other teams?
Of course, just a little bit, you know, like, obviously my friends and family won't be there because it's not in Connecticut, but it's still, you're playing your hometown team, and it's just something you want to do is you want to get a win and prove that, just some bragging rights, and still know some of the players on the team, and so it's fun. It'll be a fun time, and you always want to win games, so.
Will you, since you know some of the guys, you're being like an assistant coach as well this week, you're providing a little bit of a scouting report?
Of course, yeah. The team's changed, the coaches changed, but you know, some of the players are there, some of their tendencies, so I'll help out as much as I can with that stuff.
So. You spent, 15 games? You played in 15 games with Hartford Athletic in 2019. What was your experience like playing with them?
It was good. The stadium up there is nice. The management's good. The guys were really good, so it should be a good team, organized team, and we kind of know what to expect, so it was a good time, so I enjoyed it.
And this is narrow casting. I don't know how many people care, but since I'm from the area, I do care. When you played for Hartford Athletic, did you live in Hartford? Were you staying, you know, with family, getting some home cooking? What was that deal like?
Yeah, I was staying in West Hartford, actually, near Blueback
nice.
Square.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it was a nice little spot. I went home every now and again. I was like 45 minutes away from home, so I'd get some home-cooked meals out. It was a good setup that way.
Yeah, that's great. Talking with Logan Gadula from the Charleston Battery, played at Wake Forest. I was watching earlier this morning a video about you finding your way to Wake Forest. Originally, were you planning on going to Army and joining the Army?
Yeah, my sophomore year, I committed to Army to play soccer. So I actually went to the prep school after my senior year of high school. So I was there for a year and then ended up at Wake Forest.
Yeah. Now, I work with the Citadel, so I know what it's like for guys at the Citadel, athletes that have to go through just being a student there, let alone their athletic responsibilities.
Yeah.
What about for you, before you went to Wake Forest, when you were at the prep school, what was it like to do all of the tasks you had to and then also make sure, you know, you're concentrating on your soccer career?
Yeah, it was hard, and that was the thing for me, was that there, that type of school, it was the military aspect of it, and the education definitely came before the soccer, so it was... It's hard to balance when they have a set plan for you and you have like this goal of playing soccer beyond college. So I just followed what felt right to me in that aspect. But I have the biggest amount of respect for people that do it and go through the whole thing and serve our country. So it's definitely an amazing thing.
Yeah, you and me both. Now, you at least, you know, went through it a little bit. I've always said here on this show, I can never do such a thing. So that's why I give all the credit to everyone that either just goes to the Citadel, goes to a school like that, and certainly those that protect this country, because I know I'm not man enough personally to be able to do that. So I always appreciate the bravery.
For sure.
But you wound up at Wake Forest. So tell us about that before you went pro and you've played for a few different teams professionally. But your time at Wake Forest, how much did you enjoy playing for the Demon Deacons?
That was amazing. That was a great experience. Met a community that will be in my heart forever. The team was great. It was just a lot of chemistry between the team, and the way we played was amazing. And just a lot of experiences, a lot of wins, some losses, and just great memories overall. Won a lot of trophies and went to places that were really cool. So I loved the school. It was small. I think it was right for me and everything about it was just a great 4 years.
Are you a basketball fan at all?
Yeah, big basketball guy.
So are you, you know, coming from Wake Forest, are you like a Chris Paul fan? You rooting for Chris Paul in the NBA Finals?
Oh, yeah, Chris Paul, of course. Suns all the way. I'm a Tim Duncan fan, too. Got to support those guys. Go Deke.
Yeah, that's right. All former Wake Forest athletes. Talking with Logan Gadula from the Charleston Battery as they get ready to take on the Hartford Athletic this weekend. You spent time now in the South, obviously Wake Forest. You're here in Charleston, second year here in Charleston. How much have you enjoyed being here, playing for the Battery, but also just, you know, being in the Charleston area?
Yeah, I love the Charleston area. I mean, I think it's maybe, I'd say the best city in the USL. Just everything about it has every different vibe that you're looking for. As the beach, as a city, not too big, it's not too small. So definitely got to go out and see a lot of more things this year compared to last year. And it's been a good time, and just looking forward to even seeing more and then the games and more people being at the games with full capacity and stuff. So Charleston's a great place.
Since he brought it up, since he mentioned it, what would be second on the list? Which of, like, the road cities do you enjoy? And I know, as an athlete, right, you don't get to go out and spend a ton of time, but well, what's your favorite trip elsewhere that you – your favorite place that you've gone to through your soccer career?
I would say Tampa is a really good place in St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
Their setup is really nice, but in my whole career, my favorite place that I went that I hadn't been was Toronto.
Ooh,
Toronto was really cool. Just, like, the culture and – the diversity within the city, it was really cool. Just a place I didn't expect to be like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fun city as well. Since we're on the subject now, going back to college, I'm sure at Wake Forest the home games were great, but what about what college do you think back to as a road environment, good or bad? Maybe the fans are really tough on you. Like, which stands out the most from your college career playing somewhere on the road?
Well, we had a conference game my freshman year against Akron, and that was surprising because Akron, like the city, it was questionable. But the fans there and, like, the support they had for the soccer team, the crowd was nuts because, like, it wasn't, like, bleachers. They were just standing around the field.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really cool atmosphere. They're really close. They're, like, on top of you, and they're really committed to what they were doing.
All right, the most important question of the day, Charleston, South Carolina, or Norwich, Connecticut? Where would you rather be?
Ooh, Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and me both. I'd rather be here than Hartford, Connecticut, where I grew up. Talking with Logan Gadula from the Charleston Battery. All right, let's get back to soccer things before we let you go. You said that Monday against New Mexico, that game you thought it was, you know, maybe the team's best performance so far this year.
Yeah.
So what's been working for you guys of late that you feel like, you know, maybe you're hitting that stride here towards the midseason point?
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of injuries, a lot of key guys out, a lot of experienced guys at least. And so we've had a lot of young guys playing. I think they're just getting their legs, and we're connecting more and getting to know each other more. So as the games go on and these young guys are getting more minutes, you see the development and you see them fitting in. And I was just really proud of the performance the other day, even though it was a lot of young guys, a lot of guys with less experience. And I was just proud of them. And I think it will continue to progress. Obviously, we want to make the playoffs, so it needs to happen fast. But I'm confident in this group.
Yeah, what's that point of the season where you start to look and realize, mm-hmm. you know, it's getting a little late quick here. We got to kind of turn on the Jets. At what point of the year do you maybe get to that point or that thought process?
Yeah, I think we're starting to feel it. I think right now we're just like, we need to get a win. We need to get back on track. And we see it's still close. We still see the playoffs are in sight, but I think we need to get out ahead of it, and I think right now is the time to be like, all right, let's step it up, and we need to be ready for what's to come and put ourselves in a good position by the end of the year because we want to control our own destiny.
Before we let you go, Saturday, Hartford Athletic coming to town, an opportunity to get things going here, the next two at home. I know you touched on the Hartford Athletic earlier, but, you know, scouting report for the fans coming out and watching, what do you expect to see from the Hartford Athletic on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, they played a couple of days ago against Tampa, and that was a long game for them where they battled it out and got a 1-0 win. So I expect them to be a little more tired than us, a little more fatigued. But I think they're gonna be organized, and they're going to be a hard team to break down. And then they have some dangerous people up top that are powerful and athletic. So I think we just got to shut those people down and play our game and dictate the game ourselves and take advantage of the crowd and being at home, because we're a team that doesn't really lose at home, and that's what we pride ourselves on.
Logan Gadula from the Charleston Battery, last thing, and I know nobody cares, but I do. I could talk Connecticut with you all afternoon.
Yeah.
What's the thing you miss most from growing up or living in Connecticut? Is there anything you outside of family? Of course you miss family, you miss friends, but outside of that, the state itself, a restaurant, something, what do you miss most from Connecticut?
Shoot. I kind of miss the weather, not all the time. Not all the time. Like, maybe, like, I want it to be cold for a week, like the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I miss the weather, like, the season's changing more, and you noticing the season's changing. Here, it's a little more like the season kind of went by fast. Like, the change went by fast. You didn't really see it.
Yes.
So that's something I miss. But at the same time, I'm not a huge cold weather guy.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I miss the fall, but I don't miss the winter. Right, like I like sweatshirt weather, but I don't care about the snow. I don't need to shovel, but you know, wear a sweatshirt and go watch a football game. You know, that feels nice.
Exactly, and I could do without the humidity here. Yes. Humidity is what kills me.
Yeah, that's true, especially for a soccer guy playing all those minutes running around out there in this with this weather, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can understand. Logan Gadula from the Charleston Battery. They play Saturday night, Hartford Athletic coming to town. Get your tickets online, charlestonbattery.com, while they're still available. 7:30 start Saturday night. Logan, appreciate the time as always. Best of luck on Saturday. Go beat Hartford Athletic for us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you as well. Pleasure's all ours. I'm torn. Hartford Athletic coming to town. I don't know what to do. I agree with the season. Appreciate the time from Logan, of course. And, like, we could talk, Connecticut all afternoon. But I do agree about the seasons. I lived in Florida for a number of years. Charleston's better than Florida in that sense, where Florida, it's pretty much the same year-round. And we would always joke about it because I was working in minor league baseball, and so it's a bunch of people. No one was actually from Florida. We all came from all over the place to come work for that team in Florida. And everyone felt the same. We would always joke around that you had no idea what month it was. Like, without looking at a calendar or without something, without Halloween coming up. That's how you knew. That was the only way you knew was October. And it's similar here, but it's not as bad. But in Florida, because the weather is the same year-round, right? There's no winter. There's no fall. You wake up, it feels the same every day. And so you wonder, like, what? I would have to remind myself. Now, obviously, baseball, that helps. You're in the middle of a baseball season. You know, oh, well, if baseball's going on, if it's during the season, well, obviously it's summer. If it's not during the season, it's the off. But there was legitimate times I had to look up, like, what month is it? Because you had no idea. I didn't know if it was October, December. It all felt the same. Like, what month are we in, by the way? Everything feels the same. And so, look, I'm not going to complain because I love the warmer weather than the cold, but it can get a little tiresome. I lived there for, I don't know what it was, 4 or 5 years, something like that. After a little while, it's like every day's the same. It's like a Groundhog Day. Every day's the same. It's the same weather. It's going to downpour about 3 o'clock every day for about 15 minutes. It'll cool off for a little bit. Then the humidity comes back. It gets real hot again, and every day feels exactly the same. And when you're working in minor league baseball and you have a baseball game every day, those days all feel the same as well, right? There's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's no weekend that you're looking for. You got games every day. So it was a little bit of an odd existence. Every day felt the same. A little bit different here in Charleston, which I appreciate, that you get a little bit more of the seasons. But I do miss fall. Don't miss winter. If I never see snow again, I'll be fine. But the fall, there is something nice about, you know, you throw a little sweatshirt on, go watch a football game instead of sweating out there. And instead of being at a football game in 90-degree weather. When I went to the game, I went, you know, because obviously I work with the Citadel. I don't have many opportunities. But the one Gamecock game I went to a couple years ago against Missouri, oh, my God, that was so hot. And then the thunderstorms came because it was so hot and humid. It was like 100 degrees that day. You're burning up out there watching a football game. That's the one thing I do miss. Other than the chicken cutlet grinders. Ooh, those are so good. Appreciate the time from Logan. Battery are in town the next 2 weekends. Hartford Athletic coming to town on Saturday. Get your tickets online, charlestonbattery.com. It's Thursday, which means we always do our wrestling wrap-up on Thursdays. Joe, do you have a wrestling wrap-up ready to go?
Yes, I do.
All right, the people have been waiting for it. We're going to do that coming up because later on we got some things to get to with Elliot Johnson joining us next hour. We got some tickets to give away coming up, some NFL stuff as well. Let's get to our wrestling wrap-up when we come back. It's the Mora Midday Show. Right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Mora Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, our wrestling wrap-up. Plus, it's already talking season. Talking season has begun in college football. We'll get to that in a little bit here on the Mora Midday Show on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Logan Gadula of the Charleston Battery joining us ahead of their game Saturday against Hartford Athletic, where he played. He played for the Hartford Athletic. Now he's part of the Battery. He's from Connecticut, so... you know, a big game for him and the Battery this Saturday, 7:30 start. Get tickets online at charlestonbattery.com as they're back to full capacity at Patriots Point. So go out there Saturday night, go enjoy the game, the match, and get yourself some tickets. Go see the Battery against the Hartford Athletic. As I said, I'm very torn, right? It's like Faye Dunaway in Chinatown, my sister, my daughter, my sister. I don't know, the Battery, Hartford Athletic, Charleston Battery, Hartford Athletic. I don't know. I can't root for a draw. I mean, maybe. I guess I am a little more towards more biased towards the Battery these days. But I'm very conflicted. Like Faye Dunaway in Chinatown on Saturday. I don't know who to pull for. You can always join the conversation. We'll get to our wrestling wrap-up in just a little bit. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call throughout the afternoons. Let's go to the phones. Because when you hear that, you know who's with us. Jerome's with us. Jerome, what's going on? How are you?
Three blind mice. They all run after the farmer's wife who cut off the tail with a garden knife. Three blind mice. And you know what I'm talking about, too.
You talking about the refs in last night's finals game?
Damn right I am.
Yeah.
Huh? Hey, if I had any doubts whether Booker was a star, first he trips at the officials. Okay, when he doesn't get the call, they don't give him a technical. Hey, if that was Rodman, they would have given him about 10 technicals by now, okay? And the way they made those 9 calls on him kind of remind me of a couple of times in some games I watched on my phone about Michael Jordan. One time in a game against San Antonio, David Robinson, he just gave the dirtiest looks to the officials when they let Jordan get away with a foul. And the other time was when Charles Barkley played against Jordan. He goes up to the official. Just because he's Michael Jordan don't mean you can't call anything on him. And they didn't tee him up either for saying it. So, hey, if I had any doubt whether he was a star, yeah, he gets star treatment. Just like Bob Trump said, when you're a celebrity, they let you get away with it. That was ridiculous. You bear hug one guy, and then you body block the other guy to the ground. And let me tell you something. Chris Middleton's a big dude, okay? Have you ever seen a close-up of him? I go, he's a good 6'7 or 6'8. Hey, they didn't, like, do that shrinking stuff when they do the height on these NBA players. Oh, no. And no call, nothing. No call. Hey, tell those ESPN announcers at the beginning of the game, instead of sucking up the silver, how about ask him a real question about why has your league lost like 10 million viewers over the last couple of years? Well, it's because of crap like last night. That's why. What do you mean you can't foul the start of the game? I mean, he bear hugged the guy. He still made the bucket, though, and so did Milton. And, hey, those 4 points were really crucial down the stretch of that game in order for them to pull it out. Because by all rights, it looked like they weren't going to win that thing. Because they just looked sluggish and listless. And Atuna Kupo, hey, man, that's what pressure does to you, okay? It makes you real nervous. It can, like, suck the wind. He looked like he was so tired at the beginning. I said, well, Jerome, that's what pressure does to you. Sometimes you can overcome it. Sometimes you can't. But he was mad. He pulled himself together toward the end of toward the second half. So, hey, they got to win. But I'm telling you, hey, now it's not going to be just skill. The last 3 games, it's going to be about who has the will to win. Because they got to play maybe two games on the road if it goes 7. I don't know, man. But, hey, they've been there before. They know what game 7s are like. You go up against Durant in his own building and you pull it out, hey, anything can happen.
Jerome bringing it hard today. Appreciate it, Jerome. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah! Send it in, Jerome!
That's right. Appreciate it, Jerome. By the way, he referenced Charles Barkley. Oh, first let me say, Devin Booker, yeah, he got like 8 fouls last night. And there was that play with about 4 minutes to go where it should have been the 6th on Devin Booker and they didn't call the foul. He fouled Drew Holiday. It was pretty clear, contesting a shot at the rim. But there were still 4 minutes left. If you have 5 fouls and you're Devin Booker, what are you doing even making a play like that? I'm all for playing hard and trying to contest a shot at the rim, but, you know, I'd rather you play smarter. I don't know what he was doing. He probably knew, like, yeah, they're not going to foul me out. He got like 8 fouls last night. Hacked Drew Holiday with 4 minutes left, and they let him continue to play, right? But what are you doing? I want more basketball awareness in that moment. And that's, like I said, he just knew, like, yeah, they're not going to foul me out. He was pushing the envelope. The Bucks won, though, so the officials aren't as big of a story today. If the Bucks lost, I'm sure a lot of people would start to, you know, they'd be talking today about that game. And, oh, the refs, and you take a 3-1 lead instead of a 2-2 lead. If people believe that the officials made that big of a difference, that's a huge story. The Suns blew a 9-point fourth-quarter lead. Instead, that's the story. Chris Paul was lousy. DeAndre Ayton didn't play well enough, and the Suns blew a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter and let the Bucks even up this series. You hold on to that lead, you're going home with a 3-1 lead, you're sitting pretty. You're going to be champions. 3-1 with two more games at home. Blew that fourth quarter lead last night. Evened up this series. We'll see what happens now. It's a three-game series. By the way, since he mentioned Charles Barkley, you know, Barkley said this past week that Bryson DeChambeau, because Barkley was playing in that like celebrity pro-am golf tournament this past weekend that John Smoltz almost won, and Barkley said that Bryson DeChambeau got him on not all of his data and analytics and workout and stuff, but he did tell Barkley, you got to drink a lot more water. And Charles Barkley said that he has had more water. He has drank more water like this month alone than the rest of the year combined. He said he doesn't drink water. But DeChambeau tell him, you got to hydrate. You got to drink water. So Barkley he said he's been chugging water lately. And he never drinks water because, as he said, he doesn't like how it tastes. Now, I do get this. People are making fun of Barkley. They're saying water doesn't have a taste. It's true, but I get what he's saying. Now, I have never been one that drank enough water. I'm trying to do a better job now, especially now that I'm running each day. I've really upped my water intake. I was never one who drank a ton of water, but I wouldn't drink other things. I'm just strange that way. I don't drink a whole lot of liquids during the day, but I get it. You drink enough water, at a certain point, you want something with a little flavor. So I do get what Barkley's saying. I don't dislike the taste of water. I don't know how much of a taste it really has. But if you're drinking water all the time, every once in a while, you want to mix it up. You know, can I get a little juice in here? Can I get some flavor? Maybe some flavored water at least? So I do get that point. Water can be very boring, but obviously is very important. And certain waters do have a taste, usually a bad taste, right? You can taste something. It tastes like metallic, right? Certain fountain, tap water, especially the old water fountains, those never tasted good at schools. You take a sip and you're like, oh, something tastes off of it with this water. But I looked this up. The best tap water in the country. Apparently Louisville is known, widely regarded to have great tap water. It's filtered through sand and gravel and undergoes hundreds of tests every day to make sure it is safe and clean. The water comes from the Ohio River, which I guess is considered a very dirty river. But for some reason, Louisville is considered the best place to drink tap water.
Louisville.
Either way, they got great tap water. Number four on the list, Greenville, South Carolina. Now, I'm not a big tap water guy. I drink out of bottles or filtered. But next time I'm in Greenville, out of the hotel, I'm going to have to drink out of that tap because Greenville, South Carolina is ranked number four by Travel.com as the best tap water in the country. Fourth best. They have, as they wrote, they have great tasting tap water. The water has been reported to be very smooth when it comes to taste. And they get their tap water from a 26,000-acre area of the Blue Ridge foothills. This area is as pristine as it gets.
So are you actually looking forward to setting foot on the campus of Furman University?
Yeah, just for the tap water. That's what I'm looking forward to. Forget Furman. I know, big rival, all that sort of stuff. But, man, I got to try their tap water now. Manchester, New Hampshire is number six. Denver is seven. Chicago is eight. Stevens Point, Wisconsin, 9, and then New York City is 10. I've always thought New York, you would think the water wouldn't seem very good, but they always say that's the difference in the bagels and the pizza, that they use the New York City, the water in their dough, and that's what makes things so flavorable. And I remember a few years ago, somebody just bottled up tap water, and they sold it in stores, and it was called New York Tap. And it was just that person filling up water bottles with the tap water and selling it. And what a great idea that is. I'm going to try that. Call it Charleston Tap. I'll go home, I'll get a bunch of empty water bottles, fill it up, and somehow get a distributing deal that I'm going to get it in all sorts of stores. Buy a water bottle just to have the water coming out of your tap that you could just have it free for free at home. Anyways, coming up, we'll get to our wrestling wrap-up. I'm going to be good. I'm going to stay as ahead of a clock as I can, not get too far behind. So let's take another break. We'll come back, get to our wrestling stuff. Plus, talking season in college football, which NFL teams are going to take a step forward this year, which will take a step back, and we got tickets to give away later on as well. For the River Dogs. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
preacher's son. And when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Passing Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. See what?
It's the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Get to our wrestling wrap-up coming up. Elliot Johnson will join us, former big leaguer, played for the Atlanta Braves. He'll join us at the top of next hour. Got some River Dog tickets to give away as well. I met some people this past weekend who listened to the show, and they were all great, and it was very great to meet them and spend some time with them. And one of them said, you're nothing like how I pictured you, which I've always wondered. We've talked about this on air. I've always wondered that. When you're driving around listening, like, what do you have? What's the image that you come up with in your mind of what I look like? I met this guy over the weekend. He said, yeah, you're nothing what I thought you looked like. And I've had that experience before with people growing up that we used to listen to on the radio. And then you'd see them out in public, and you're like, oh, that's what they look like. I had something completely different. But, you know, they gave me a little bit of a hard time. They say, you're willing to talk wrestling, and we're probably the only ones on ESPN radio that does any wrestling talk. But they said, you're willing to talk wrestling? How about a little pickleball? Right? If you're going to talk wrestling, you might as well talk some pickleball on the air. So the pressure's on today for our wrestling wrap-up. Joe better bring it. We got some people clamoring. You're doing a wrestling segment. You might as well do a pickleball segment.
But you talked about pickleball recently because you played it while you were visiting your folks, right?
Yes. I love pickleball. I don't know if I could get a whole segment out of it. But I do enjoy playing it. You want to play pickleball, I'll go play with you. I just don't know if I'll talk about it too much on the radio. Anyways, with that said, every week we do a wrestling wrap-up. We devote a few minutes. I got to keep everyone happy. People are always clamoring for it, waiting for the wrestling wrap-up. So without further ado, it's time for our weekly wrestling wrap-up.
It's time.
Look at this.
For Producer Joe's.
He's got the fans behind him.
Wednesday wrestling wrap-up.
It's like a dream come true.
Right here.
He's all fired up now.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
And if they're smart, they'll listen. So what are we waiting for?
What are you waiting for this weekend? Because it's going to be a big weekend in wrestling this weekend. We have two pay-per-views. Impact presents Slammiversary on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this week, Access TV has had programming, you know, along with this stuff, you know, including a documentary and lead-up. And then this past Monday, your guys, the Good Brothers, Machine Gun, Carl Anderson, and Doc Gallows, hosted a screening of... I can't even talk right now. Yeah, this is just going weird for me.
This is not a good follow-up. We get the wrestling wrap-up criticized, and here we go.
So now you're going to say somebody threw me off the whole time.
Can't handle the pressure. Like,
but anyway, they also hosted a screening of Pulp Fiction.
Ah, there you go.
Okay. And guess what we had this weekend?
What?
We had Ring of Honor's Best in the World.
Oh.
Okay. And again, Slammiversary will be Saturday. WWE's Money in the Bank will be Sunday. Mm-hmm. And this past weekend at Best in the World, there are three title changes.
Wow.
Okay. Jonathan Gresham is beginning his second reign as the Ring of Honor World Television Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Dickinson and Homicide of Violence Unlimited defeated the Foundation's Jonathan Gresham and Rhett Titus for the Tag Team Championship. Now, Gresham, who had earlier successfully defended his Pure Championship on the card, against Mike Bennett, he was filling in for Tracy Williams, who's still out. Now, there's reports that it was a car accident or he was hit by a car.
Jeez.
Up in Brooklyn, New York. So he was still out. Gresham filled in. But Violence Unlimited takes a tag team championship. And new world champion Bandido, who had won the recent Survival of the Fittest tournament, ends up defeating Rouge to become the new Ring of Honor world champion.
Oh.
And another title change last night on AEW's Dynamite. Ricky Starks defeated Brian Cage for the FTW Championship.
Mm.
And that's one guy you need to look out for, Ricky Starks. One to watch. Okay. And also at Ring of Honor's Best in the World, Chelsea Green, who's been a hot free agent ever since being released by WWE, she appeared at the pay-per-view, but she's not going to be taking part in the upcoming Women's Championship Tournament because she's still recovering from a broken arm.
Mm.
And the Ring of Honor Women's Championship Tournament begins July 31st on Ring of Honor Television. The final will be at the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view on September 12th from Lakeland, Florida.
Oh.
Okay, and of course, when it comes to New Japan, their Grand Slam will take place on the 25th of this month from the Tokyo Dome. And then also earlier this week on AEW's Dark Elevation, I should know that because one of the commentators, of course, is South Carolina's own Paul White, formerly The Big Show.
Yeah.
Okay, you remember back in around 1997, Rick Rude appeared on both Raw and WCW Monday Nitro on the same night.
Yes.
Because Raw was taped at the time.
Right.
Nitro was live.
Yeah,
of course, he had already taped WWE's show, and then of course appeared on Nitro live.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happened again.
Oh boy!
Appearing on two different programs from two different companies on the same night. Okay, indie wrestler Kelsey Heather, who by the way is a cheerleader for the Orlando Magic, and she's also the head cheer coach at the University of Tampa.
Wow!
Now she does that when she's not wrestling.
Yeah.
She appeared on Raw, which was taped last week because it was the final one from the Thunderdome, because, of course, that's wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of Lashley's ladies, but then on the same night, she wrestled in her debut with a loss to Layla Hirsch on AEW's Dark Elevation.
Oh, how about that? It's like a lot of people in radio. They just use different names, but you could listen to the same person on like three different stations at the same time, just with different names.
Okay, and then, of course, on the same episode of Dark Elevation, South Carolina's own Amber Nova appeared.
Oh.
Of course, she lost to inaugural AEW Women's Champ Riho, but hey, she's getting to wrestle a champ or somebody at that level. She's getting exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, appearing on this show.
That's right. It's what we do.
Yeah,
we help
become a
people.
Friend of the show, good things happen.
That's right. We help people. It's what we do at the Morrow Midday Show.
All right, and unfortunately, a major injury to report. Bayley is going to be out about 9 months with an undisclosed injury she suffered while training.
Oh, boy.
John Cena is rumored to be returning to WWE after Money in the Bank. And also, there's possibly a working relationship between NWA and Impact Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That stems from Kali Ray's recent situation. She was signed with Impact, and then she pretty much retired from the business, to work on some personal issues.
Uh-huh.
And when she came back into wrestling, she technically was still in her contract with Impact, but things were worked out between the NWA and Impact to where she could, be released from Impact and go to work for the NWA.
Mm-hmm.
The Kenny Omega, Sammy Callahan match this weekend. I'm not sure if all three championships are going to be on the line, but it's going to be Impact's World Championship, AEW's World Championship, and possibly AAA's Mega Championship.
Ooh.
And it will be a no DQ match between Omega and Sammy Callahan.
Nice.
And, of course, the big news this week, very sad news.
Yeah.
WWE Hall of Famer Paul Orndorff, known as Mr. Wonderful, passed away Monday at the age of 71. Of course, he was part of the main event of the first WrestleMania.
Right.
Teaming with Rowdy Roddy Piper against Hulk Hogan and Mr. T in the main event. That also had Billy Martin as the ring announcer.
Hmm.
Muhammad Ali is the referee.
Mm-hmm.
Liberace was the timekeeper. And the Rockettes even appeared, leading up to the main event.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal. Of course, he was a running back at the University of Tampa. He was drafted by the New Orleans Saints in the early 70s and then actually played a bit in the old World Football League before heading into pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And after wrestling in the WWE for several years, he held the WCW Television Championship and two stints as a tag team champion with Paul Roma, managed by the Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then also he became an agent and a trainer after his in-ring days. He and Hogan were in a cage match in the first main event of the Saturday night's main event television show that appeared on NBC during the mid to late 80s.
How about that?
Okay, we finally got through it. Yeah, well, all my talking issues today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's it for now and then. Between now and then, have a slamming good time.
All right, the weekly wrestling wrap-up. Next week, we'll have to do it on pickleball. Get the pickleball wrap. Well, let's see what Margie's doing out on the pickleball courts in North Charleston. And how.
Seemed like they were doing pickleball inside Citadel Mall for a while.
Yes, that's true. That'd be interesting. Love me some pickleball. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
just a matter of time before you make up your mind to give all that love that you've been hiding.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Wrapping up hour two here on this Thursday afternoon. We'll be joined by Elliot Johnson, former Atlanta Brave, in about 10 minutes. Give away some River Dog tickets as well. Plus, I'll let you know which NFL teams could take a step back this year and which ones will take a step forward. Get to that coming up. Did our wrestling wrap up last segment? So, of course, if you missed that, you can always find it on demand. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can find it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, you can always find the show on demand online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through our free app. Download the app today by searching ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And you can download the app there, listen to the show live from anywhere in the world through the app or also on demand. The podcasts are available through that app as well. Brent Venables with the contract extension, but it's, you know, that headline could be a little misleading. It just added a year and then $100,000 per year. So instead of making $2.4 million, now making $2.5 million. So it's not a huge difference. You add on a year, but as I was saying earlier, this now takes him, if he stays for the length of this contract, it would take him until he's 56 years old, still without a head coaching opportunity. And the opportunities won't completely dry up. I'm sure he would still have a chance at that point, especially if the defense and Clemson continues to perform at a high level. He'll still have an opportunity, but we just haven't really seen it. We haven't seen a lot of coaches that age get hired as a first-time head coach. There are always exceptions, and you'll make an exception if you believe, you know, Brent Venables is the guy. But for somebody of that age, there's always concern about the age. How can you relate this and that, right? You don't have the same energy, whatever it may be. There's always questions, fair or otherwise. Call it ageism. There are always concerns about coaches of a certain age. Like when Mack Brown came back to UNC or Herm Edwards was hired at 63 at Arizona State, and you're thinking, oh, he's too old. He can't do it anymore. Now, granted, those guys were out of the sport and came back, but at least they were still covering the sport, following along. Venables would still be coaching. But my point in all this being that at a certain age, some teams may not be as interested. Is Venables even that interested in being a head coach one day? But Clemson, by continuing to make this commitment, shows how important they believe he is to the whole operation. And I said on the show, I think it was a week ago, maybe it was earlier this week, that I do think he is the most important piece to this year's Clemson team. It's not the new quarterback, won't be the new running back, won't be any of the other new pieces. The most important person is Venables. Clemson will be fine throughout the regular season. The one question or concern would be Georgia. And if Clemson loses to Georgia, I don't think it's going to be because of their own quarterback play, but because of the other team's quarterback play. It's on Venables to slow down JT Daniels and try to beat Georgia that first week. And come playoff time, same idea. College football is all about offense, making these defensive coaches' jobs that much harder. And Clemson's defense hasn't been up to the task the last couple of times. So Venables, I think, is the most important part this year. And if Clemson wants to continue this run, he may be the most important part in general. And that's why, if you're Clemson, you give him this money. That's the leverage he has. Keep paying the man. Keep him around. And see what he can continue to do for your defense. Hour three, come up next. We'll catch up with Elliot Johnson, former big leaguer and former Atlanta Brave, will join us when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.